Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week in more than 112 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Here Is the Bad News, right after this. You know, those who already walk submissively will say that there is no cause for alarm, but submissiveness is not our heritage. Now, the First Amendment was designed to allow rebellion to remain as our heritage, and the Constitution was designed to keep government off the backs of the people. And our Bill of Rights was added to keep the precincts of belief and expression of the press of political and social affairs free from government surveillance. Now, that's a citation that came from Justice William O. Douglas of our Supreme Court. You know, I wished I'd have thought of that, but that's a quotation from a judge. Now, our princes and our politicians are bellowing in the halls of Congress for more taxes, more spending, and more gun control. You and me, you and I, we haven't heard anything intelligent come out of a politician's mouth in more than 75 years. And that's why I contend that the only real reason, logic, or common sense left in America comes from our courts. It's not coming from our political process. It's not coming from our politicians, not from our lawyers or our bureaucrats. You know, old Mayor Rothschild, hundreds of years ago, summed it up with a flair when he said, "You give me the money power, and I care not who makes the laws." Now, that's why I say, "You give me the judicial power, and I care not who makes the laws either," because the real power in America now is in our courts. It's not in our politics. And if you'd like to tap into that power of the courts, then call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Be sure to ask for our free general law CD package while you're at it. That's a 4-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative. Best of all, it's free. Our school, Courtroom Strategy and Procedures, available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click on the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. And once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now while you're thinking about it, before you forget. Hey, we've been talking about some bad news, bad economic news primarily. Bad news because our government's lying to us. George Bush is a liar. Let's just be honest and upfront about it. But he's not the only one. The Congress is lying to us also, and so is Brian Williams, Katie Couric, and Charlie Gibson. Nice people that they are, but those people aren't telling us all of the truth. They're not giving us all of the facts all of the time. But we can get some facts. I mean, we can observe what's going on in the supermarket, for crying out loud. The last time you filled up your gas tank, you got a radical dose of the truth, didn't you? So let's pay attention now to what's going on in the underground newsletters. Now, here's one that's put out by a guy named David Vaughn. David Vaughn is published through what's called Gold Letter DV. That's www.goldletterdv.com. And it's published free. It's on Kitco. You just go to kitco.com and you can get a copy of it. Here's one that he put out on 6/24. Now, this is I speak to you now. We're talking about June, late June of 2008, you know, in case you get to looking at this in our archives at some time in the future. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because it's a part of current affairs. It's a part of what's going on around us every day. And David Vaughn here is an economist, and he's taking some notes. You know, he tells his clients, he tells them, "Oh, buy pork bellies and sell stocks," or, you know, "buy this and sell that," or, you know, "Here's what you do to make some money in the marketplace." And he starts off by saying, do you believe in high prices? Now, do you believe that the cost of everyday living is climbing substantially higher? Well, I just don't know. Our government has not warned us yet of any real inflationary problem. So the $5 a gallon that I'm now paying for milk and the $4 a gallon that I'm now paying for gasoline is just an illusion. $4 gas may be just an illusion, just like the $5 milk. We must be guided, of course, by our government as to whether or not inflation is a real threat. So the government remains telling us that we're merely on the edge of an inflationary problem. Now, it makes me feel better already. Now, you know your government is telling you that the inflation rate is 4.7%. And you Social Security recipients this year, I think it was last October, because the government runs from October to October, got a 3.2% increase in your Social Security benefits. I want you to write me a letter and tell me one thing that's gone up 4.7% or less than 5%. Tell me. What is it? It isn't gasoline. It's not food. It's not hardware. You take a look in the marketplace, boys and girls, and the inflation rate right now. Hell, Dow Chemical just announced yesterday, got it off of Brian Williams. They're raising their prices by 25%. Come on. Now, inflation isn't running 5%, and it hasn't been running 5% over the last 5 years either. Inflation's been running around 10% for the last 7 years. And it's up to 15% now, and it's headed to 18% because that's how fast the M3 money supply has grown. Now, that's really where inflation's at. Now, here's Vaughn. He comes around here and makes this observation. He says, we're all suddenly talking about inflation. The genie is out of the jar. It's going to be impossible to put that genie back in the jar. Now, mark my words. Inflation is about to accelerate as the authorities attempt to deal with this now inevitable derivatives crisis. Now, remember, I've said I'm going to avoid this derivatives crisis. Now we're going to take it on. Derivatives. Those are bets in the marketplace, and they total $600 trillion. Did you catch that, Joe? Wait a minute. No, not billion now. That's B like boy. This is T like Tom. $600 trillion. You got that number, Dan? $600 trillion, and that thing's about ready to pop. Hey, we haven't got to the real big problems yet. When these mega problems finally come to a head, which your government's not telling you anything about, and then when they do tell you about it, they lie about it. And then I thought, well, you probably ought to be informed. I mean, you ought to at least have some information, some inkling, some idea as to what's coming down the pike, because you're not getting that from Katie and Brian, Charlie. They're not telling you. They're not supposed to tell you. They get paid for keeping it quiet, and they're doing their job. And that's because if you people out there were actually getting the straight skinny on the 6 o'clock news, well, you people would freak out. Hell, there might be civil disorder. There might be rioting going on in the streets. There could be impeachment proceedings. There could be something drastic happening over here. Now, as it turns out, the truth has always been out there. I mean, hell, there's been facts and figures available. And I want to give you this name and number again. It's called Kitco, K-I-T-C-O. And Kitco sells gold and silver coin. So I'm not here pumping up Kitco or telling you to go buy gold and silver. Hell, I don't care what you buy. Go take a carnival cruise if it turns you on. Get after it. But I would suspect that most of us bottom feeders out here should be thinking about how we're going to put bread on the table for the bread snappers and how we're going to pay the mortgage before we take that next carnival cruise, kids, because there's some damn tough times coming down the pike over here, and I thought I ought to report it. I know it's bad news. I know you don't want to hear it, but hell, nobody else is telling us about it. So Kitco over here now, Kitco, they publish probably 10 of these newsletters, and this one here is put out by a guy named David Vaughn. Now, you can get another one over here from Kitco that's put out by a guy named Richard Dotti, the Magombo Guru. And I always liked Dotti, the Magombo. I'm one of those junior Magombo Rangers that he talks about. I don't write to him, but I'm one of them over here, Mr. Magombo. I'm over here watching and listening to you. And so these people talk about inflation from time to time, have been for years. I mean, hell, this isn't anything new. And these are free newsletters, so you can pull these right off the internet. I mean, you don't have to pay this $130 to the privateer, or $160, you know, to Bob Chapman, you know, or whatever. But I recommend these major newsletters because that's where the real information is that you need. Now, you can get bits and pieces of this information. You can get confirmation of the hardcore information you get from the privateer and from the forecaster and the money changer by putting together these minor bits and pieces, these blurbs from Kitco. And so here's David Vaughn. Now he's going to tell us in this newsletter here about the Royal Bank of Scotland, which, remember, I reported to you on the first program. Came right out of the International Forecaster. So here comes the Royal Bank of Scotland, premier insider bank, telling all of their clients, get ready for a stock market collapse worldwide. It's coming. My God, I would have thought that Katie Couric and Brian Williams and President Bush would have jumped on that with both feet, came out. You know, President Bush should be out with an emergency news conference, shouldn't he? Telling us, ladies and gentlemen, I'm the President of the United States, and I have to, as my duty as President, I have to warn you that the economic circumstances in the world today are such that the world's stock markets could collapse at any moment. Hell, you haven't heard that from the president now, have you? Did Gordon Brown tell you Englishmen over there about the imminent collapse of the world stock market? You know, the British stock market? Did he report on what the Royal Bank of Canada told you? Well, David Bond does. Bob Chapman does. Bill Buckler does. The Magombo does. So, I didn't read it in USA Today either, so I thought, hell, it sounded like quite a headline to me. I didn't hear it on Charlie Gibson on ABC. And I thought, my God, here's the premier bank of England, you know, the Royal Bank of Scotland. I think it's owned by Queen Elizabeth. And they're telling you, they're telling all their clients, not telling you. They're telling all their clients out here. Now, wait a minute, boys and girls, get ready for this. So I thought, well, let me come on the air and let me tell all of my listeners, hey, kids, don't you think that maybe you and I, us bottom feeders down here driving trucks and pounding nails, ought to have a little bit of inside information like everybody else? I mean, hell, just because Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, you know, and George Soros have got their ear to the ground, and they get all this good information from all of these best newsletter writers. Don't you think that maybe some of us bottom feeders ought to get a little bit of news also, so that maybe we could get prepared for it? Maybe just psychologically, if nothing else, so that when it happens, you know, it doesn't cause you to have a heart attack. I pointed out to you last time, I said it's coming whether we like it or not. There's no way to stop this train. This train's coming down the tracks, like it or lump it. I don't like it, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. I'm not going to stop it. I'm not going to advance it. I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm going to report on it. I'm going to tell you, hey, wake up. Wake up out there. Let's pay attention. How rising home values, easy credit, put our finances at risk. You know, during the housing boom from mid-2001 through 2006, banks raised credit limits at a blistering pace across the nation. And they did it in part because of a surge in home equity. Much of that home equity now has vanished. I want to point out right here where Vaughn says much of it has now vanished. Underline that. Let me put down in place of much, all. A-L-L, all has vanished. In fact, your home value now is back to where it was in summer of 2004. All right. Today, the mix of high-rate debt and meager home equity has squeezed consumers and threatens to prolong the economic slowdown. The consequences are visible. Foreclosures are at record levels, and credit card delinquencies are nearing a six-year high as millions of borrowers struggle to keep up with a record load of revolving debt, mostly on credit cards. Card users extended too much credit too quickly. Card issuers, you know, the banks that sent you the card, they extended too much credit too quickly because of the phantom equity that you people thought you had in your home, says William McCracken. He's the CEO of Synergistics, a financial services research firm. Today, the Bakers owe $30,000 on credit cards and $105,000 on a home that is only worth $63,000. You get that? Bob, pay attention here. You got $30,000 worth of debt on your credit cards. You got a $105,000 mortgage and a $63,000 house. Now that's where you're sitting. All right? That ain't good. And they blame themselves, you know, Bob, you're blaming yourself, but also say the lenders share responsibility for making it so easy to borrow. Bob, you're the guy that went out there and borrowed them. You know, you're the guy that went out there and signed on the dotted line. I mean, weren't you looking ahead? Didn't you say to yourself, gee, what if housing values go down? What if I lose my job? How will I pay this $30,000 on the credit card? I don't know what you were thinking. I'll tell you what I was thinking, though. I took a look at this thing back in 2000. I said, oh, my God. I choked up back in March of 2000. I said, God, it's over. Now, you know, George Bush and the Federal Reserve and the Congress and everybody, they buckled down. They went to work on it, and they stretched this thing out for another 7 years. It's going to be a lot worse now than it would have been 7 years ago. I mean, the longer this thing stretches out, the bigger the bubble gets. And when it pops, the bigger the noise is going to be. The longer it's going to be. The whole thing's going to drag out. But blaming the banks for making the credit easy isn't going to solve your problem or mine. Borrowers are turning back to cards, turning back to your credit cards, because the spigot now has been turned off on your home equity lending, says Mark Laurentino of Global Insight. It's another research firm. He said, I'm sacrificing all over the place, food, gas, and necessities, he says. It's a real struggle. It's a real struggle. Well, hell, everybody's doing it. Now, here's what David Vaughn says. He said, what have I said before? Get out of debt, or you can't totally get out of debt. Reduce where you can. You know, if you can't pay all your debts, reduce where you can. Use that saved college money for your kids to take care of debt now. They'll find a means to get an education when they're older. All right, I'm going to pause right here. Remember what I told you last time? Get out of debt. I used to tell my students that. Get out of debt. Get to zero COD is where you want to be. That was good advice, you know, 5 years ago, but it's bad advice today. Let's suppose that you've saved up a bunch of money for your kids' college. And let's suppose that it's $20,000. Remember I mentioned this to you last time, and you go down here and you got, you see, how much you owe on this house? $105,000 on the house. So you take your $20,000 and you reduce the principal from $105,000 to $85,000. Okay, Bob, when they come and repossess your house and you owe $85,000 on it, do you think that they're going to give you the $20,000 college money back and say, oh, by the way, let me give you the $20,000 that you gave us here a couple of years ago because you'll probably need it? Hey, kids, I tell you, it's time to wake up and start smelling the coffee. You guys are going to have to start figuring out, you know, how you're going to put bread on the table now over the next 4 years. That job that you've got, you know, maybe it's a good job and you're working for the county or you're working for the city. But property tax revenues are going down and cities and counties are going to have to cut back. A lot of you people that think that you're in bulletproof jobs aren't. I mean, if you think your job is bulletproof, think again. It may be. And there are some bulletproof jobs. I'm not denying it. I mean, if you got 20 years with the FBI, that's probably bulletproof. But you know, there's a reality out here. And if you're just out here working in the marketplace, you know, like the rest of us are, you know, in construction. You know, I'm an old-timey contractor. You know, this contracting thing is a done deal. I mean, we're all through. We're all through building. There's no money for building. There's no money for paying the mortgages on the buildings that we've already built. I mean, we're in for some tough times coming. And your president and everybody's telling, oh, no, we're almost through. The recession's just about on the bottom. It's just all, we're just about to take off. It sounds like a drunk, you know. Hey, everything's going to be all right. Don't worry about a thing. Everything's going to be fine. Let's have another drink. Let's have another drink before the bar closes. Well, okay, you can have another drink before the bar closes, but I think you better be thinking about reality over here, because, you know, you're going to sober up in the morning, and, you know, when you're sober in the morning, you know, you still have to face reality. How are you going to put bread on the table for the kids? So if you've got some money over here, you've got access to some money, I'd say the last thing you want to do is reduce your debt, because you're already going to lose that car. That SUV is a done deal. That house you're living in, partner, is it's toast. You're going to be renting here shortly. And any cash that you can get your hands on, you need to get that cash in the form of gold or silver or wheat, corn, beans, honey, or oil. I tell people very plainly that before you save any gold or silver coin, you need to have a four-year food supply in your basement. Now, right now, are you paying attention to where food prices are going? Are you paying attention to where rationing is? Have you been listening to what the hell's going on here in the Midwest? I saw a number last night that choked me up. I just read the International Forecaster. I haven't got that one here on the table. I mean, that one's going to gag a maggot. If I told you all the stories that's in the Wednesday edition, you talk about bad news. Let me give you a little bad news here. 70% of the corn seed crop for 2009 is lost. You know, I'm a farmer. That just boggles my mind. I read the numbers and I said, that can't be true. You can't sit there and tell me that this flood now has wiped out 70% of next year's seed crop for corn. That's too much. Well, that's what I just got from last night's forecast. Gets worse. You heard of this big outfit that's called Quaker Oats? They had to shut down. All their silos are underwater. They've lost all their grain. Quaker Oats lost all their grain. Cargill lost most of theirs, and ADM's lost most of theirs. Cargill's out of production. Quaker Oats is closed down. ADM is crippled. Those are the three biggest grain companies in the country. I don't know where in the hell their heads were when they were building those silos down in the floodplain. That's one thing, you know, that's always fascinated me. I'm from a floodplain. I'm from Eureka, California. I worked my early years in the Eel River Valley. It floods there regularly. But hell, everybody that lives in the valley knows it's a floodplain, and so they've built their houses and barns. They haul dirt in, and then they build their buildings on top of the dirt piles, you know, to get up out of the water. Now, you'd think that some big outfit, you know, like Archer Daniels Midland or Cargill or Quaker Oats, would have built their silos up on a dirt pile. They would have picked a location, you know, that's up out of the floodplain. No. They build it just like the contractors build houses, you know, down on the flat ground, because it's cheap. And what the hell, after we sell the houses, we know we're not concerned about flood. You know, if I was going to buy a house, I'd want to know, well, where's the high water mark here? That's just because I guess I came from a floodplain. I don't think the average Joe Sixpack asks, well, where's the high water mark? Huh? What are you talking about? Where's the high water mark? Every time it rains and I see people getting flooded out, I say, well, where in the hell was your mind when you were buying that place? Didn't you ask where the high water came? Did you ask where the high water mark at Table Rock Lake is? You know, just in case. And I guess I'm an old man and I start thinking about things in the future. You know, well, what if? What if? What if? You know, what if I don't have a job next year? You know, what if I can't pay that credit card debt? Then what am I going to do? What's my fallback plan? Gold prices are going to reach $8,500 an ounce. All right. And I think the guy's right. And back in 1923, gold reached hundreds of thousands of marks per ounce. And that's not really what the issue is all about here. It isn't. It isn't how many dollars per ounce the price of gold is going to get to that means anything. It's how much can you buy with an ounce of gold? What kind of food, clothing, and shelter are you going to come out of the store with for that ounce of gold? Whatever you trade it in for. Gold and silver is not measured in dollars or euros or rubles or escudos per ounce. It's measured in ounces of silver per ounce. And there's 16 ounces of silver to an ounce of gold. And that's what the price is. And there's 1 ounce of gold for every 16 ounces of silver. And that's what the correct price is. And when you deviate from that and you start pricing gold and silver in dollars and rubles and escudos and pounds and euros, and you're just asking for trouble. You can do it if you want, but you know, that isn't the way God designed the program, and I'd suggest that you start thinking more about the way the program is designed. Because this Barney, Sesame Street, Big Bird, and Mr. Rogers world that we've grown up in, you know, most of you people are the Mr. Rogers generation. I got news for you. In Mr. Rogers, Sesame Street, and Barney, at the end of the program, everybody's happy. There are no problems. And there's nothing but happiness and smiles for everybody. There's never any consequences. But that's not the real world. And boys and girls, we're in the real world, and there's real consequences out here. I mean, really big consequences. Things that none of us have ever seen before are about to unfold. It's kind of like Noah's flood, you know. How do you prepare for a worldwide flood when you've never seen or heard of any such thing? So you can understand how people at Noah's flood reacted to Noah building a big ark in the middle of a cornfield up on flat ground, you know. People looked at him and said, guy's nuts. And for you people that have been watching Mr. Rogers and enjoying Big Bird and Barney and Bert, you know, and Ernie, why... There's never been a problem in your lives. It's damn hard to relate to inflation. Damn hard to relate to economic catastrophe, but it's on the threshold here, like it or not. And so nobody's reporting that, so I thought I'd at least get on the air and say, hey, wait a minute, kids, time to wake up. Before you take all of that college money that you've got or your IRA and blow it on reducing debt, I think you better buy something like food and stash it away someplace. I think you better be thinking about where you're going to be living over the next 4 or 5 years. Just my old man's opinion, I guess. Gold prices, he thinks, is going to reach $8,500. In the long term, it doesn't matter what central bankers say, or what matters is that what they have done. Gold and oil are going to go a lot higher. But how high? Well, I'll tell you. We're all suddenly talking about inflation, and the genie is out of the jar, and it's going to be impossible to get the genie back into the jar. And it's too late for that. Pandora's box has now been opened. In the long term, it doesn't matter what the central bankers say or what they do. What matters is what they have done past tense. Gold and oil are going to go a lot higher. But how high? Well, let me tell you. Perhaps $8,500 for gold, $400 for oil. And he's citing that from today's financial news. Now, these are opinions. Got that? That's an opinion. And I'm here to tell you here, just as a footnote over here, what the hell difference does it make when the price of oil goes to $400 a gallon? Just picture this. If gasoline is $3 a gallon at $100, doesn't that translate into $12 a gallon at $400? You know, for practical purposes, when gasoline gets to $12 a gallon, hell, you're not going to be driving anywhere. Not driving anywhere of any consequence. And the people that are out there driving, that is the truck drivers that are going to be paying, you know, $12 for gas, I guess the price of diesel is going to be 15 or 18, something like that. Can you imagine what the price of rutabagas and tomatoes are going to be down here at Walmart when the price of gasoline is $12 a gallon, diesel's at 15? Hell, you're going to be doing good if you can just buy enough to keep body and soul together. That's why I told you, famine's coming. Time to get ready, wake up and smell the coffee. See, with Mr. Rogers and Barney and Ernie and Bert, they've always got plenty to eat. There's never famine. There's never great tribulation. There's never economic collapse. There's just always fun and games and play and smiles and everything's fine. So I thought, well, maybe what we need to do is talk about some bad news, you know, because here's some bad news. Now, wheat has doubled in price to $400 a ton. Corn is now exceeding all world records. One well-known food index is at the highest level that it's ever been since 1845. No. I didn't say 1945. I'm not talking about the end of World War II. I'm talking about 1845. I'm talking about when James K. Polk was president of the United States. From that day to this, they've never had an index this high. Now, boys and girls, we're starting to get down to some serious stuff here, aren't we? I think you better reconsider that Carnival cruise. Maybe even that vacation this summer. I think maybe we better start thinking real seriously about, what happens when the stock market collapses? Because, see, for practical purposes, when the stock market goes from 12,000 down to 1,000, it isn't going to affect George Gordon or you or me or anybody else. For practical purposes. See, that money that you've got invested in the stock market, hell, that was toast years ago. You've been hoping that you were going to get that money back. That was a false hope. That money was gone when you bought those stocks, and you're never going to get it back. Forget about that stock market. It's a psychological problem. When that thing collapses, you people are just going to go bonkers. See, in your mind, the stock market collapse triggered the depression. Hell, the depression's already upon us. It's already started. It started in August of 2007. You haven't recognized it because the powers that be haven't recognized it. They're still telling you inflation's 4%. Hell, inflation's been 12% for more than a year. It's running 15 right now. Now, the information that you've got, you know, from Katie and Brian and Charlie has been false information or no information at all. They're telling you, oh my God, the price of gas is $4 a gallon. Okay, what the hell are you going to do about that? Nothing. But when the price of gas is $12 a gallon, which is coming down the pike, and if you think you're going to be making three times as much money as you're making today to buy that $12 gas, I tell you, boys and girls, I think your head's up the wrong end again. No, inflation's been all right. When you were making $2 an hour and gasoline, you know, was 30 cents a gallon, price of wages went up to $4 an hour and the price of gas went up to 35 cents a gallon. Hell, you were making money. That isn't the way this game's being played anymore. Now you get a 10 cent raise in pay and the price of gas goes up 50 cents. Now that's where you're headed. That's where reality is. Yeah, you're going to get more pay increases. And when your pay goes up by a dollar an hour, the price of gas will go up a dollar a gallon. So you're going to be a net loser when it comes to how much money do you have to buy the dwindling means of survival. Your standard of living is going to contract. And you need to start thinking about, well, what is it that's necessary and what is it that is not necessary, and what are we going to get by on, and what are we going to do without? Because that's where reality's at. See, when the price of gas was $1 a gallon, I burned lots of it. When it was $2 a gallon, I burned a little less. And when it was $3 a gallon, I burned a lot less. And now it's $4 a gallon. Now I go to Springfield once a month instead of twice. And, you know, when the price of gas gets to $12 a gallon, I'll probably go to Springfield twice a year. And I might ride with somebody else and help him buy the gas. I don't know. But this idea Vaughn's got here, you know, take your kids, you know, take the money that you got in your IRA or your college fund or something over here and pay your debt down. Think about that long and hard, Bob. Think about that, because I think you're going to be needing that money in about 6 months. You're going to be needing that money to buy food. Now, of course, China and Asia. I mean, you know, China and Asia come into the game over here, and their almost 3 billion population aren't helping matters, as they also like to eat, and the demand for meat is also on the rise in Asia. One-third of corn is bought by the U.S. government for ethanol production. God, that's an abortion, isn't it? One-third of the corn crop. I don't know how that's going to play out as this thing unwinds. I mean, you got famine going on. 20 million people a year dying from starvation. Now you got rationing. Corn's at the highest level in history, and you're taking one-third of it to make auto fuel? Hey, and you've lost you've lost 70% of your seed corn for next year? Oh, my God. China continues to suffer from higher food prices that have driven inflation higher. China food consumption is 23% of the world total. The Chinese, all by themselves, are taking 25% of the world's total food. One country is taking 25%. Well, they've only got about 15% of the world's population, but they're taking 25% of the world's food, and that's because they're sitting on top of all these dollars. Hey, they got $1 trillion over there to spend, and they're going to spend it. Now, boy, when those guys hit the marketplace with that $1 trillion, watch prices. That's why I'm telling you, Bob, I wouldn't take that $20,000 college fund and blow it on debt reduction. I think I'd blow it on rice, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil, if it was me. Hey, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can also be accessed through the website. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, now I told you about Vaughn. Vaughn warning us now about the Royal Bank of Scotland. Listen to this. Just how fast can change occur, and how about the automotive industry? The once mighty SUV is dead. Gas price is too high to run anymore. Car owners are scrambling to purchase smaller cars, and whatever provides higher mileage. The bottom line has also fallen out of the light truck market. And what is surprising is not the fact that SUVs are now dead, but rather how quickly they died. The sales of gas-saving passenger cars has exploded literally overnight. Small car sales are what is keeping the auto industry afloat. So hang on to your Corollas and your Civics. Gold Investments, market update, the Royal Bank of Scotland issues crash alert and BIS warns of a Great Depression. Inflation pressures continue to grow. Oh my God. Here, let me underline this. Let me run this one by you again, Bob, in case you missed it. Gold Investments, market update. Now that's a newsletter. Gold Investments, market update, a newsletter. Says Royal Bank of Scotland issues crash alert and the BIS warns of a Great Depression. Now here's a guy who makes his living writing newsletters. And he's warning his clients about the Bank of International Settlements warns of a Great Depression. Did you hear about that on Katie Couric? The Great Depression? The warning issued by the Bank of International Settlements? Oh, you didn't hear that? Okay. Well, that's because it wasn't reported. Katie Couric does not report that. It's bad news. Katie Couric only reports good news about Bert and Ernie. Big Bird. And that green frog, whatever. Kermit. Kermit, the big frog. Green frog. Listen, Sesame Street's wonderful. God, I love it. It's all happiness. There's never any crying, never any tears, never any comeuppance. There's never any punishment, never any penalties, never any consequences. We start off with fun and smiles, and we end with fun and smiles. That's all there's ever been on Sesame Street. It's fun and smiles. There's never any reality there. There's never been a minute's worth of reality in Barney Sesame Street or Mr. Rogers. Never. Those are not reality programs. They don't deal in reality. They deal in the land of Oz. It's a Cinderella story. Now, down here on Main Street, there's reality. And reality is about to smack all of us right in the face. As long as the Federal Reserve continues to keep real interest rates negative and money supply in the United States, which is called the M3, which is the broadest and most important money supply measure, and internationally continues to surge at unprecedented rates, the dollar will remain weak and get weaker, and gold will remain in a bull market, especially with macroeconomic conditions looking more like virulent version of the stagflation of the 1970s. Now that's where we're at. This is what we call, Harry Schultz coined the word stagflation. It's a stagnant economy with continued inflation. Your wages aren't going up, but prices are. Now you've got the worst of both worlds. You've got deflation in housing, inflation in goods and services, and stagflation in wages. So your wages are remaining the same. Prices are going up and the value of your real estate's going down. Now you can't come up with a worse storm than that. That is the perfect storm for Joe Sixpack on Main Street. And Joe, you're right in the middle of it. Whether you know it or not, you're right in the middle of the worst storm that's ever come upon you. And it's going to get a lot worse because you're going to lose your job, you're going to lose your house, and you're going to lose your SUV. So the last thing, in my view, that you should be doing is paying your debt down. Looks like to me, I'd be adding all the debt on I could get, cash conversion, food conversion, battening down the hatches, because the house is toast anyway. If you've got debt against your house is toast. Now here's another number that'll just make your day. One-third of Americans own their homes free and clear. One-third of us own our homes free and clear. I'm one of those. If you take all of the people who own their homes free and clear, and you average them with everybody else in the country, that's the other 67%. All of us, as an aggregate, owe more money on our real estate than we can sell that real estate for today. We're underwater by 2%. That's just a new number came out. Here's what that means, kids. If you take all the real estate in America and sell it today, you're 2% short of covering the mortgage on. And that includes all the guys that own theirs free and clear. Now, you talk about bad numbers. You know, when I tell you that we've lost 70% of the seed corn. Now, that's not 70% of the corn crop. That's 70% of the seed corn. You know, a lot of farmers, they grow seed. Did you know that? See, they're not growing corn, you know, to be turned into tacos. They grow seed to sell to farmers to plant seed next year to grow, to turn into tacos. Most farmers are planting hybrid seed. Hybrid seed does not reproduce from itself. So you have to have seed farmers that produce that hybrid seed, and 70% of that corn crop's been lost. And oh my God. I mean, it was bad to start with that you were growing hybrid corn. That violated Leviticus 19:19. So you were already in violation of that law. But we were dependent upon that poor corn with the low nutritional quality. And now we find out that there isn't even going to be the poor, low nutrition quality corn. Did Katie and Brian and Charlie report that to you last night on the news? I got that out of the International Forecaster. That's why I keep telling you, I think that you'd be better served if you'd cancel your subscription to USA Today and the Idaho Statesman. And subscribe to the International Forecaster, the Money Changer, and the Privateer. I think that it would be money better spent for you because you're going to get better information. I mean, the cutting edge information. It's all bad news. I don't deny it. But I would say that for you and I, it's better to learn the truth that the ship has a 300-foot hole right down the side and it's going to sink in 2 hours and 20 minutes. I think that's better information for a guy riding on the Titanic than to tell him everything's fine, go back to your stateroom, sir, and have a good evening. I don't want to hear that there's a 300-foot hole down the side of the ship, but I think it's better information than go back to your stateroom, everything's fine. Now, our president tells us the economy is strong and everything's fine. Our Treasury Secretary, our Federal Reserve Chairman, every time they speak in public, they say, everything's fine. You know, we've about reached the bottom. The worst is behind us. We haven't quite reached the bottom yet, but we're almost there. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's fine. Go back to your stateroom, sir. Have a good evening. Then George Gordon comes along and says, boys and girls, let me tell you, you got a 300-foot hole down the side of the ship. Ship's going to sink in 2 hours and 20 minutes. My only problem is I don't know if the great ship America is going to sink in 2 hours and 20 minutes or 2 months and or 2 years. We got a big hole down the side of it. Everybody knows things are going to sink. We're not quite sure when. Royal Bank of Scotland says, here's David Vaughan. Now, I gave it to you from 3 sources. I gave it to you from the privateer. I gave it to you from David Vaughan. And I gave it to you from the international forecaster. Now, that's 3 witnesses now. Only Vaughn goes a step further, says, did you hear about the Great Depression warning from the Bank of International Settlements? Now, this Bank of International Settlements is headed by 13 men. 13 men run that operation. The Bank of International Settlements runs planet Earth. There isn't anything that goes on this planet that isn't approved by those 13 men that run the BIS. You got that, kids? these 13 guys say we got economic catastrophe on the horizon. I would have thought that that would have made headlines. I would have thought, geez, you know, Brian Williams ought to be all over that story. Katie Couric, Charlie, USA Today, the president should be calling an emergency cabinet session, an emergency press conference, warning us, telling us. I would think that Nancy Pelosi and the Congress ought to be in emergency session, preparing for this economic collapse and what we're going to do to feed America. Maybe call for a day of national fasting and prayer like President Lincoln did during the Civil War. I don't know. I'm just a reporter. It would seem like to me that these two announcements by these two prestigious insider Illuminati companies over here ought to trigger somebody to say something about it. Oh, no. I haven't heard a word. Global stock markets are braced for one of the worst crashes in 100 years, according to the Royal Bank of Scotland. That's the RBS Credit Strategy Team. The RBS Credit Strategy Team, in a special report for clients, said it expects inflation to paralyze economies and spark the crash. The report advised investors to be prepared for a severe downturn. Meanwhile, the Bank of International Settlements, the BIS, has continued to warn of a possible second Great Depression. The Bank for International Settlements, the organization that fosters cooperation between central banks, boys and girls, the BIS is the central bank's bank. Did you know that? See, Charlie, where you're at. You go downtown, and there's your bank. Okay, now your bank is a branch of Bank of America, which is the big bank in the state of California. But Bank of America is just one bank out of many banks that get their money from the Federal Reserve Bank in Washington, D.C. Now, you want to know something else? Where does the Federal Reserve Bank in Washington, D.C. get its money? They get it from the Bank of International Settlements in Zurich, Switzerland. Now, here's the Bank of International Settlements. Here's the Federal Reserve Banker. Here's Ben Bernanke's bank. Here's Alan Greenspan's bank telling you that we're on the verge of a new second Great Depression. The Bank for International Settlements, the organization that fosters cooperation between central banks, has warned that the credit crisis could lead world economies into a crash on a scale not seen since the 1930s. In its latest quarterly report, the body points out that the Great Depression of the 1930s was not foreseen, and that commentators on the financial turmoil instigated by the U.S. subprime mortgage crisis may not have grasped the level of exposure that lies at its heart. Okay, now in layman's terms. The CNN forecasters and prognosticators that you're hearing on PBS and CNN don't have a clue as to what the hell's really going on in the international markets. That's what that statement just said. Let me read it to you again. This is just economic ease for, and it says, in its latest quarterly report, the body points out that the Great Depression of the 1930s was not foreseen, and that commentators on the financial turmoil instigated by the U.S. subprime mortgage crisis may not have grasped the level of exposure that lies at its heart. What that means in layman's terms, they don't know their ass from a hot rock. Bottom line. According to the BIS, complex credit instruments, a strong appetite for risk, rising levels of household debt, and long-term imbalances in the world currency system all form part of the loosed monetarist policy that could result in another Great Depression. That comes from FX Streets, that's factstreets.com, on 6/16/2008. Now, these people are all recommending that you run out and buy gold and silver. Good advice. My God, I couldn't tell you that you should go out and buy cream puffs and marshmallows. But let me throw a little caveat in here. The theory behind buying this gold and silver is that inflation runs rampant. You will be able to take an ounce of gold today that you paid $900 for and sell it tomorrow for $9,000 and take the $9,000 down to Walmart and buy goods out of the store. That's the theory behind it. My God, that's a wonderful theory. It's worked well in the past, and it probably will work well again in the future. Let me throw in this caveat. What in the hell makes you think that there's going to be any fajitas or corn chips for you to buy down at Walmart when 70% of the corn seed has already been lost for next year's crop? Boys and girls, I don't give a damn how much gold you've got. If there's no corn chips in the store, you ain't getting any corn chips. Can you grasp that concept, Ernie, Bert, Big Bird, Barney, Mr. Rogers? That's why I'm telling you, boys and girls, it may well be true that prophecy that says you people are going to be throwing your gold to the bats and the moles in the streets when Revelation 6 takes hold. Now, Bob, let's get back to reality. You got $20,000 in the kid's college account? Good, good. That's great. Take the $20,000, Bob, and turn it into rice, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil today. And don't let any grass grow under your feet on your way down to Walmart. You get what you can get, because they might ration some of the rest. I think you're going to do better with $20,000 worth of food than $20,000 worth of gold. And I'll guarantee you that $20,000 in food sitting in your basement is going to do you a hell of a lot more good than a $20,000 reduction on your mortgage on a house that's going to be foreclosed on you anyway, because you're going to lose your job, and you're going to lose your car, and you're going to lose your house, and you're going to be out here renting someplace or living with Mom and Dad or with Uncle Lyle or Uncle Buster or Aunt Bessie. Now, that's where reality is today, boys and girls. Let's wake up and face it. Now remember this guy here. Now this is David Vaughn, and this is called Kitco, K-I-T-C-O. Just go to the Kitco website and then start buzzing around there, and you'll pick up David Vaughn, you'll pick up the Magombo Guru, and there's about 10 of them on there. They're all free. Take a look at where reality is at, Ernie, Bert, Bob, Big Bird, Barney. Take a look at where reality is located, and it's not good news. All right, well, now that I've spoiled your day out here, kids, let me remind you that you have been listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in 112 countries daily over the internet and radio. For more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. We've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.